fasting and prayer. And even today morning, God was inspiring me inside to go on for another 7 to 8 days. Till next Sunday, we continue our fast. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in the evenings, we will come to worship the Lord. We don't want this to be a ritual of just fasting and going back. Amen. 3 days you fast and you spend in the presence of the Lord and then go back into the same bondage. No, we don't want that. We want lasting deliverance. We want complete deliverance. We want to go all the way for the Lord. Amen. Complete consecration. Amen. Once again, to see fire burning within the hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't want just to end this within our tomorrow. We just want to go on for yet another week. And if God leads us again, get on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Till we see the glory of God manifested in our beings. Amen. I said, Lord, I'm tired with messages. What I want is a manifestation of your presence deep inside. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we want that manifestation of God's glory deep inside our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you're truly eager and wanting to have that presence of the Lord upon your life, lift your hand and say, Lord, please may it be so. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So every evening we will have, in the evening, 6 o'clock onwards. On Tuesday I have a meeting in Bangalore. So I was planning to go tomorrow, but I changed it. I thought I'll just fly on to Tuesday morning, go finish the service there, and come back the same day, so on Wednesday I can be here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Glory be to the name of Jesus. We don't just want this to be another message. We have been hearing a lot of messages time and again, listening to the word. Amen. Some of you are tired of messages. What you need is to see the grace of God functioning upon that word in your life. Amen. So you can walk with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are desiring that? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be that some of you are tired of coming to church and playing church. Amen. You want to really know that you are a part of Christ's body. Amen. To see the presence of God upon your life. How many of you are tired with your bondage? Amen. Hallelujah. If you are not tired with it, you will keep it. You will only get rid of that which you cannot tolerate. Are you with me? You will only get rid of that which you cannot tolerate. See, if there is a bondage in your life and if you can tolerate it, then it will stay with you. But if you have got that holy itch, that holy scratching, you are irritated with it. You just want to get it out of you. You're tired of it and you want to get out of it. Amen. You're desperate for it. And you're so desperate for the Lord that you will seek Him. And when you do that, then the power of God will fall upon you. Amen. If you're happy where you are and if you do not want to move any more forward, but just, you know, go through the motions, then maybe you might just end up that way. But I just pray that the Lord will give us the grace to see Him and to walk with Him and to hunger and thirst for Him and to come to that consecration where we can know the Word of God really abiding within us and the presence of God's glory resting upon our life. Amen. Hallelujah. No man can deliver us. No message can deliver us until and unless God's Spirit begins to take a hold over each one of our lives and begins to mold us into the image and likeness of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not a new message. It's not a new preacher. It's nothing new that we want. We want to look into the face of Jesus. We want to see the power of God setting us free. We want to see the truth of God penetrating into us. We are enough with error and deception and bondage. We want to walk in truth. Amen. The Lord said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. We want to have the truth in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you have been putting up with error for a long time, but it's time to realize the truth is showing up at your life now. Open your hearts and receive the truth. God will set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you have been praying to get out of your situation, out of your problem in quick time, fast. You're just going through a lot of troubles. You want to get out of it immediately. Immediately. Just get me out of the situation, Lord. You're willing to fast 3 days, whole days and nights, maybe seek the Lord in prayer and get out of it. But let me tell you, sometimes it takes time to see the face of the Lord and come out of it step by step by step. Amen. Step by step, so you understand those steps so well that you won't go back those steps again. Amen. God can do a miracle and bring you through in 1 second, just like that, without any message, without anything. But seldom will God do that, because He knows if He can get you a quick breakthrough, the chances are that you will go back into the same bondage because you won't reverence that which God gave you. You hear that?
So he'll allow you to walk with him, seek him, be desperate for him, cry out and seek his face and say, Lord, get me out of this situation. I cannot put up with it. Somehow get me out of it, Lord. And you begin to hunger and thirst and cry after him. Step by step by step, he begins to show you the way out. Little bit of the word there, a little bit of the truth there. The anointing of God showing up, setting you free again, stepping forward to walk with the Lord. Again, the Lord releasing you step by step. So you know the process through which you came out and you won't go that way again. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We want that. Amen. 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 Nehemiah kept walking with God because he saw the greatness of God. Hallelujah. Joshua kept walking with God because he saw the promise of God. Abraham kept walking with God because he saw the heavenly city whose architect and foundation was laid by the Lord himself. Amen. Hallelujah. The master builder was the Lord himself. Amen. And on Friday evening, we looked at the fact that Moses kept walking with God because he saw the glory of God. Amen. You can listen to that word glory and sometimes your mind can get put off. Because you heard that word long time and you say, I want to see a manifestation of the presence of or the glory of God in my life. Amen. But Isaiah 43 and verse 7 says, he whom God created for his glory. Amen. You want to partake of his glory, which means his presence, his tangible presence. When the tangible presence of God is there, no demonic bondage can enter your life. No sickness can even afflict you when the presence is that thick upon your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You will feel that you have victory over sin. Sin might come, but you have victory over it. Why? Because the presence of God is so thick upon your life. Amen. And that is not for some unique people here and there. That's for the church. That's for the body of Christ. The very word in Ephesians 5 is he's preparing a glorious church, which means you and me are part of his body. We are supposed to be glorious. That's what he is calling you and me into. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody here this afternoon? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And tonight, this afternoon, I don't know how much I'll preach, but I just mentioned some things which I believe will help us to realize that we need the glory and help us to get back to the place where God can allow his glory to come over us. Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. See, it says in the book of Numbers chapter 7, we're going to look through a lot of scripture. We're going to look through a lot of the word and allow the Holy Spirit of God to minister to us. We're abstaining from natural food so as well to see the spiritual food. Amen. Hallelujah. If somebody sitting next to you does not have a Bible, share the Bible with that person. Numbers chapter 7. The 7th chapter. And verse 18, and remember that word glory, that's what we are looking at and that's what we want. Numbers 7 and verse 89. Aren't you glad that we don't have to read through the whole chapter? 89 verses, we just look at that 89 verse. Hallelujah. Otherwise that would have been a message by itself. Amen. Numbers 7 and verse 89. Can I have more volume on this? No volume? Okay. Can I have a chair then so I can sit in between? Numbers 7 verse 89. Now when Moses went into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubim. Thus he spoke to him. Amen. Remember this? Now when Moses went into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubims. Thus he spoke to him. Amen. Hallelujah. You will know there is glory in your life when you will know that God is trying to communicate with you. Or when he is speaking with you. I'll explain that. In the Old Testament, the glory of God was over the tabernacle. In the desert, when the Lord was taking his people through the desert into the promised land, in the wilderness, while they were going through, there were enemies on all sides. And how they kept themselves from the enemy's torments and obstacles and temptation was the fact that they would look to the tabernacle in the front or in the middle of the camp. Amen. They would look to the tabernacle that was there in the middle of the camp. And they would see the glory. They would see the fire. They would see the cloud. And they would know that the Lord was there. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, when the glory of God is there, one of the signs is that God will speak with you. Are you waiting in your life for an answer? Maybe you have got into trouble. Maybe you have got into bondage. Maybe you are going through a depressive phase in your life. Maybe there is a bondage harassing you. Maybe there is something that is making you weak. And you know it. What you need is the voice of the Lord coming to you. God speaking to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We worship a living God. If it's living God, He can speak. And if He speaks, you need to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you begin to hear the voice of God when the glory comes over your life. Let me explain that again. God had spoken to Moses in times past. But remember this, in the book of Exodus chapter 3, God spoke to Moses. By the rock, God spoke to Moses. By the Red Sea, God spoke to Moses. God had spoken to Moses in different times. But what is the difference when God spoke in the tabernacle? The difference was this, that it was no longer from that time onwards, Moses alone hearing the word. It was the whole camp hearing the word. Did you hear that? From that point of time onwards, in times past, God spoke with a godly man or a humble man like Moses. But when the glory came over the tabernacle, from that point of time onwards, whenever a family had a problem, a person had a problem, they would go up to Aaron and say, Aaron, we want an answer from God. And Aaron, the priest of God, would go into the tabernacle and hear from God. And there was a word for everyone in the camp. Do you know that God wants to speak with you personally? Amen. Hallelujah. There might be some unique people here and there who listen to the voice of God, whom God guides them supernaturally. But the time has to come, and the time is already here when the glory begins to move. It is just not one person or two people. It is the whole church hearing the voice of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, He spoke. Are you with me? Amen. The Lord spoke from between the cherubims. Amen. Remember this, in the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant was in the most holy of holies. Now you don't say, listen, I want to hear the voice of God and come through the back door and open the curtain and just step into the holy of holies that way. You can't. Sometimes what happens to people is they want to hear from God, they want to see the glory of God in their lives, and then they think they can have a shortcut to God. So what they think is they can just come into the holy of holies just like that. That's not the way. There is only one entrance into the camp. Into the place where the tabernacle is, where the Ark of the Covenant is. And that one door through which you can enter is Jesus. Amen. There is no other mediator, there is no other Savior except Jesus Christ our Lord. No matter how spiritual you are, how religious you are, there is only one entrance, that is Jesus. He is the door. He is the only way through which you can enter. But when you enter, remember this, you and me are people who have entered. Amen. But once you enter, there's a problem. You can't just run into the Holy of Holies. First, there is an altar there. It's called the brazen altar. You have to come there. And there's a horn in that altar. You have to make sure there is blood on that horn. There is a sacrifice there. There is a blood being shed there. And you are hugging on to that altar. Because you are entering not in the perfect condition through Jesus. There is sin in your life. There is scar in your life. There are areas in which you have failed God. There is iniquity and trespasses. You are entering and coming into the brazen altar. You are allowing the blood to be sprinkled there and holding onto the horns of the altar. That's where you start. Now, some of you want to hear the voice of God. You know what happens to you? You are struggling in sin and you say, Lord, speak to me. God won't. Do you hear that? Did you hear that? He won't. And if you try to hear the voice of God, many a time it will be the devil deceiving you. And that is why you begin to have fear instead of faith. That's why instead of encouragement, you have discouragement. Why? Because the Lord only speaks once you have come through the blood of Jesus. Amen. You need to come to that altar where you can lean on. That's the place where you die to yourself. Where you're leaning onto that brazen altar and say, this is the place where I end and God is the beginning of my life. It's no longer I religion. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are standing and holding on to that altar. Holding on to that horns of the altar. And seeing that your life itself is a sacrifice there together with that blood. You hear that? How many of you here this morning? And once you've stepped in there and come under the blood, then you know you're forgiven. Otherwise you will have guilt in you. Are you with me? And the voice of guilt will always bring in fear. It'll always bring in condemnation. And so sometimes believers, when they are in sin and they try to hear the voice of God, and they come into a church, it's all condemnation and guilt inside their minds. Shame and fear. Why? Because they have not plunged into the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Once you come under the blood, then you walk on, but not rightly into the Holy of Holies. You walk to that place where there is another laver. Where there is water inside that laver. And you look there, the priests who are going to go into the holy place, they have to look there and wash themselves in that water. And what is that water? Ephesians 5 says, he has cleansed us through the washing by the word. Amen. That's where you look into the word of God. And when you begin looking at the word of God and see your own reflection and seeing the places that you have to cleanse. You see the spot, you see the pimple, you see the acne, you have to get it all out. Clean it up. Too much makeup. Get it all out. Look. Are you with me? You're looking into the word of God. Spending time in the word. Amen. And once you spend time in the word and seeing yourself and begin to read out the scriptures and speak the scriptures, then your mind is filled with good things. Your mind is singing good things. There's a struggle going on in your mind. But when you go through that, boom, there's good things in your mind. And then from there, you go up into the holy place. Where in the holy place, there is the showbread table. There is the place where the golden lampstands are there. And there is the altar of incense. Three pieces of furniture in the holy place. When you step in there, you go to the showbread. That is again the fresh revelation of God's word. Are you with me? Sometimes you go through the logos, you read through the logos. Sometimes people only want fresh revelation. But only fresh revelation will come if you've already been meditating on the word of God. You hear that? Sometimes people, I've seen people get into their prayer and say, Lord, give me fresh revelation. Give me something that will really boom into my life. God says, no, that's not the way. First you come to the labor, just read through the word. See yourself. Read the logos part of it. Read from Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter. Take time off. Read through the Gospels. Go through it. Look. Then get to the holy place. And then you will find revelation coming to you at the showbread. That's what feeds you. The logos might not feed you, but showbread, fresh bread, feeds you up. You're satisfied there. Are you with me? Then the golden lampstands are there where there is oil. The Holy Spirit begins to illuminate your mind. Otherwise, you have a carnal mind. Your mind is seduced. Your mind is always thinking carnal things. But suddenly, the Spirit of God begins to illuminate your mind. That which you read, that which you got as a fresh revelation, begins to burn into your heart. Begins to burn into your mind. Meditation is easy. Are you with me? If you try meditating outside the camp, it won't help you. What happens to most people is that they have never come through Jesus, but they have studied Scripture. It'll never help them. Come on. They never come through Jesus personally. And they study Scripture, it won't help them. You come through Jesus, you have come to the place where the blood speaks for you, cleansed under the blood, forgiven. You know that? Seeing yourself in the logos of the Word of God, seeing the spots and the wrinkle which you have to remove, then get into that holy place. Hallelujah. There is satisfaction for you at the showbread table. Rhema, the word of God spoken comes into you. Are you with me? That will only come if you have been meditating on the word of God long enough. Come on, church. And when you get in there, then you come to the illumination of God's Holy Spirit, illuminating you from the golden lampstand. That's the time fresh revelations, truths. I mean, you have read it 100 million times, the truths come up. You've gone through John 3:16, but boom, it bursts into you. You begin to cry. You begin to weep. Whew, Lord, I thank you. That's the time you feel the closeness of the Holy Ghost upon you. You know, he's there. Then you come to the altar just before you enter the Holy of Holies. There is the altar. The place of where incense is offered unto God, the altar of incense. Where you come that speaks about your worship. You hear that? You come to that place where there is worship. Just before you enter into the Holy of Holies. What happens to most people? You come on a Sunday meeting and you think, okay, you can go into the Holy of Holies. After all, the music ministry, always to get themselves prepared before they come here. And they are charged up in the Spirit. They already entered the Holy of Holies and they are coming out to minister. And when you try to bring a congregation into the presence of the Lord, here is somebody who has never come through the door standing there, wondering what's happening. God, speak to me. Just give me something new. Here is somebody else who's never been to the labor to see himself in the Word of God. Somebody who's never gone into the showbread and into the golden lampstand. Somebody who's standing there. And for them, worship is boring. They say, just get over with it. Just give us something new to preach or listen to. We want to just go back home. But nothing happens unless you touch God. Are you with me? Unless you touch His presence, unless you experience the glory. So you come to that place where you have come to that altar of incense where you're able to worship. That's the time when worship and spirit and truth rises up inside of you. From outside, it's just, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where the altar of incense, it is beauty. Hallelujah. Because you're so full inside of God's word and the presence already. You are there, worshiping in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. You feel the beauty of God upon you. And from there you enter again through the blood into the Holy of Holies where God speaks to you from the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. From there you enter the Holy of Holies where the Lord speaks to you. And not only do you have a word for your life, but you have a word to declare to others. Don't listen. Don't try listening to the word of God if you have not gone this way. Are you with me? People think there's a shortcut to the Holy of Holies. You will die. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you enter the Holy of Holies by any other way, you will die. That's where the presence of God was. That's where the glory of God was. Amen. Let me tell you that the Holy of Holies and the most holy place were separated by a thick curtain. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. Are you with me? Amen. So when you enter the Holy of Holies, you are going in through the cross into the whole most holy place. There is again a death to self, death to your ambitions, death to your own desires and dreams. You're going through the cross into the most holy place where God speaks to you from the mercy seat. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, raise up worshipers in this place who can go into the Holy of Holies. What happens to most people is that they're born again. The next day they want to hear the voice of God. They haven't come to the brazen altar. They haven't gone through the labor. They haven't gone through the showbread and the altar of incense. They say, Lord, speak. The devil will speak to you. Are you with me? The devil, I'm not joking. That's why many people get discouraged. They don't understand. And they begin to have doubt. And they begin to have fears. And they think they are demonically possessed and in bondage. Why? Because the enemy, the liar, is always lying to them. But when you have gone through the blood and when you know you're forgiven, when you've gone through these steps right into the Holy of Holies, you know when God is speaking to you. You know, deep within. That is why when you are out there and entering through Jesus Christ into the brazen altar, if you want to hear the voice of God, don't. Just read the word and go by what has been taught. Don't look for fresh revelation or direction out there. Are you with me? Without going through these steps. How many of you understand what I'm saying this afternoon? When the glory came, the first thing that happened was people were listening to the voice of God. Can you imagine that? I said, Lord, Lord, help this congregation to be people who will go through this. Holy Spirit of God, inspire inside of them. Birth inside of them. Give them the grace. Draw them. Lead them. Quicken them. Well, there are cheap substitute for you, yourself personally listening to the word of God. You can buy a tape and listen to it. You can put on the TV and listen to it. I'm not against all that. That might be good and nice. You can listen to other preachers. That might all be needed and important. You can read the Daily Bread or some magazines. But you still feel empty inside. You know why? Because you haven't gone through these steps. You're looking for the easy way out. An easy way always is a dangerous way. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. Amen? Hallelujah. Walk through Jesus Christ. Through him, through his blood, through his word. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, through worship. Into the Holy of Holies and say, Lord, speak. Then there is a boldness in your speech. There's clarity in your mind. Are you with me? When you stand, there is authority. Even the demons tremble because they could never make it into the Holy of Holies. And you have through the blood of Jesus by grace. And that's the time authority comes out. You say, Gee, in the name of Jesus, bondages to break. Hallelujah. Well, the first thing that when the glory comes upon your life is that you hear. Amen. How many of you want to hear the Lord? Jesus said in John 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Amen. Hallelujah. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Amen. The second proof when the glory is there is this. Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23. Holy Spirit, teach us today. Numbers chapter 9. It says there, the cloud covered the tabernacle. Are you with me? The cloud? Amen. When the cloud lifted up and moved forward, the people had to move. When the cloud stopped, they had to stop. In other words, when the glory of God is there, there is direction. There is guidance for your life. You know how to handle the situation or the problem that you're facing. Otherwise, you're looking around saying, what do I do? How do I understand what to do in a situation like this? But when the glory of God is there, there is clarity concerning the direction that you should take. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, look, you know, when you look at the word of God, it says the glory showed up in the life of Moses. The glory came about. But when you read in the book of Ezekiel that after some time in the temple of Jerusalem, the glory departed. Oh, church, just lift your hand and worship him for a minute. Mandala Jarandala Hakamara Sida. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, I want you to do me a favor. Before I continue preaching, okay? Would you trust me? Would you, you know, I just want you to leave me some space in between and the back there. And I want every girl in this place, wherever you're seated, to close your eyes. Okay? And don't open your eyes till I say. Please. Would you do that? Just give us some space here. And in the back. And please don't open your eyes because that is important. Okay? And please don't be scared. Just close your eyes. Everyone, everywhere, in that room, everywhere, please. Don't open it till I say. Please. Even guys, some of you children, just close your eyes. Some of the elders can open their eyes, but some of you children, just close your eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Just pick him up from here and just take him to that room. Just help him. Just close your eyes, okay? Just don't open your eyes, please. Avinash, get up. Put it on. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Let's pray one more time before we get into the word. Don't lose your focus, okay? The Lord is doing good things here. Amen. Keep your heart focused on the Lord and pray. Father, we want to thank you once again. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the liberty that we have in the Holy Spirit. Even today, Lord, hallelujah. Into your hands we come with our lives. Holy Spirit of God, minister to us. Oraha sambalan jaraha kasina. Rudala jarandal katamana sanjal dara. Rudal jara handal jara dalakkalava sanjal dara. Oh, Radala Sanjal Dara. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We give you glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Hallelujah. Blessed be thy wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, this is exciting. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So stay focused on the word. That's more important. Amen. So when the glory of the Lord is there, the first thing that happens is you begin to sense the presence and the voice of the Lord. Amen. 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 Never listen or imagine the voice of God is speaking to you without sensing his presence. If you're feeling very oppressed and you think God is speaking to you, it sure is a sign that he might not be. Are you with me? So that is why you go through the brazen altar, you go through the laver, through the candlesticks, golden lampstands and the candlesticks and all that, right through into the altar of incense and right through the cross into the most holy place. Amen. Where you feel the Shekinah, you see the glory, you feel the presence of God. There is life in the presence. Amen. And then you can listen to the voice of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when that happens, remember, the glory of God in your midst is a sign. You hearing the voice of God is a sign that the glory of God is resting upon you. Two, when the glory of God was there, they had divine direction. What happens to most people is that, listen, they go by looking for direction in their life. You ask from one person to another person to help you. Maybe you ask the pastor, 100 million people. But let me tell you, true direction comes from the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He will direct the steps of your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. When I stepped out to walk with the Lord, I never knew what spiritual ministry was all about. I did not know what spiritual warfare was all about, how to prepare a message. I did not know how to preach. I did not know how to lead worship, how to build up a congregation for the Lord. I never knew, and even still now, I do not know. And I'm totally dependent on the Lord, where I have to allow them to lead me minute by minute, day by day. As an 8-year-old, I would sit sometimes and listen to people. I mean, I was telling me their marriage problems when I did not even know what marriage is all about. And I would say, Lord, they're coming to me because they sense that your presence is with my life. So I pray that you would help me. Let them not go back the same way. Give me a word from heaven. Well, the Lord said, you connect a couple of marriages. I did that. I was not married. I'd never seen a marriage before. God said, connect a couple of marriages. I said, how do I do it? The Lord said, I'll speak with you. I will teach you. You go for some crusades. I'm preaching. There's deliverance is manifesting at one stage. People sitting there hearing the word of God on another stage. People crying in another stage. Team members feeling discouraged on back of you. And he was standing there and said, Lord, how do I handle all that together? The Lord said, don't worry. My glory shall take over. Some of the times when I preach, at the same time while preaching, I cast out the devil at the same time. Why? Because the glory took over. When it's glory, it's not that I'm really scared. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What you need is the touch of God in your life, the glory of God upon your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, you know, the Bible says during Ezekiel times, the glory lifted up from the temple of Jerusalem and left. Why? Because Ezekiel 8th chapter and 9th chapter says, the people, the priest and the woman and the men in the temple of Jerusalem were secretly worshipping idols. They were not doing it publicly because they can't, but they were doing it secretly. Now there is a God who sees your secret life. Are you with me? Some of you are wondering why the glory of God is not there in your life. What do you do in secret? The God who is correcting me a lot of things in my own life. Amen. See, you need to see the manifestation. Otherwise, you can come in for a church service, listen to the message, and go back. But when you are by yourself, what do you think? What do you do? Well, the Lord Almighty, He looks at that. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. See, the temple of Jerusalem, the glory departed because in the temple they would come to worship, but behind closed doors they were worshiping idols. Can you imagine that? I sometimes wonder how many people who come in here to worship the Lord in spirit and truth and then go back to their traditional churches where the life of God is not there, where the truth of God's word is not proclaimed, where people do not accept that Jesus Christ is the only way and the only mediator. How many of you go back and then come here in between? That's a secret life. Well, you wouldn't see a glory of God coming in your life. You might be religious and going through the motions, but you won't have substance inside of you. And let me tell you, with all love, you are fooling yourself. Are you with me? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. See, you need to make sure that you wholly belong to God. When the temple of Jerusalem, the glory departed, the glory lingered. When you read that, it is amazing. The glory did not want to go from the temple. It's lingering on. As if say, oh, I have to go. To go. Why? Because of secret lifestyles. See, it is amazing. In 1 Kings chapter 7, 8th chapter, you will find the beginning of the chapter saying Solomon took a wife for himself from not his people, a Gentile lady who was worshipping idols, and put her next to her. But in the same chapter, when you read the later chapter, later verses, you will find at the same time when he had disobeyed the Lord, he was still going to the church and offering the greatest sacrifices. Because he wanted his reputation right. Are you with me? And later on, the glory departed. Now some of you, you will find that you can minister for some time when you have a secret lifestyle, but not long. Are you with me? For long to be continuous in the service of God, what you need is a complete trust in God all the time. You want to see the real manifestation of God's presence in your life? To see the presence and the beauty of God coming upon your life? You just say, Lord, every time, just not Sunday, just not Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, every other day. And I believe God is calling us to a time of genuine repentance, so we can come into a time where you can come and see, Lord, my heart needs to belong to you. I offer my secret heart to you. Amen. We're fasting and praying, aren't we? Amen. Oh, let's do this then. Amen. What is more precious is the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are here today? Well, listen to this. The glory departed during Ezekiel's time. And you will find in the scriptures, but that's not what I want to highlight. In the scriptures, if the glory is departed from your life, how to make sure that the glory comes back into your life? Wouldn't you like that? Amen. How to see the glory of the Lord? That word glory means presence, tangible presence of the Lord. Come back into your life. Now, when you look at the word to see the tangible presence of God come back into your life, there were four important people that you need to study who were responsible for the glory of God actually returning back. Four people, important people. And they have a story to say which would help you and me to understand. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you read from 1 Samuel to 2 Chronicles, all those four chapters, four books actually, 1 Samuel to 2 Chronicles, you find God used four people. One, her name was Hannah. In 1 Samuel 1, the woman called Hannah, that word means grace. God used her to bring the glory of God back in a way which she never thought. She would go into the temple of Jerusalem and would go in there and cry and cry and cry and say, Lord, I am being reproached. I am barren. Give me a child. Give me a child, Lord. I am unfruitful. I don't have fruit in my life. And bang, give me a child. And she would cry out. And the Bible says she wept and prayed. The Bible says she fasted and prayed. My Bible says she prayed with faith. She wept. She fasted. She prayed with faith. But she didn't get the child. Until she realized something. She was crying on and on and said, Lord, bring me out of this. And fasting and praying and staying in the temple and praying again. God said, no. Anna, you are only concerned about yourself. About your barrenness. But about your reproach. But have you ever wondered about my reproach? The Lord is saying that my name is reproached among the enemies. You're really concerned about yourself? And suddenly she recognized what I call God's need. Till then she was so focused on her need. that she had lost focus of God's need. Are you with me? Suddenly she realized God's need. And she changed the prayer and she said, Lord, if you give me a child, I will give him to you. Lord, you want someone to be a prophet? You want someone to be responsible for the glory come back and justice and truth coming back? Lord, I forget my reproach. I forget my barrenness. I change my prayer, Lord. Lord, I understand your reproach, what your need is. And Lord, what I ask you is that your need be fulfilled through my life. Hear it? Some of you are never seeing victory in your life and being going in defeat. You know why? Because you're only concerned about your barrenness, your problem, yourself. But have you taken your eyes off yourself? She was fasting. She was praying like some of us are. She was praying with faith. But the Lord had to open our eyes to understand that the Lord had a need. Do you sense the need of God? Or do you only know your own need? Hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you still here? You know, sometimes the self-life can be such a barrier for the glory of God coming back. There's a conflict. You want to live and God wants to live in you. Who wins? You say, Lord, let's get in a compromise. On Friday and Sunday, you come. Monday to Saturday, I have my way. I'll give you the tithe one day a week. It's more than a tithe. God says, no, no, no. I'm just not interested in visitation. I want to make your life my habitation. Amen. Hallelujah. The second person responsible for the glory of God to come back was this person called Samuel, the child that the Lord gave Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's look through a couple of scriptures. 1 Samuel 2. Amen. 18th verse, 21st verse. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. 21st verse. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived, and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Amen. Now read the 3rd chapter in verse 21. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And before I teach on those 3 words, just one more word, which you can just remember in your heart. The 2nd chapter and verse 12 and 13. It says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a 3-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Are you with me? Yes? See, speaking about Eli's sons who were priests in the house of God, they did not know God. They knew their father was serving the Lord. And they said, okay, now we're going to inherit that position, and so we as well do it. But when a sacrifice is brought for the Lord, they would go and grab it. It's what the Bible says. They would despise the sacrifice of God, and they would do it with a 3-pronged flesh hook. We're going to serve the Lord for the rest of your life keep that three-pronged flesh hook of you. What that is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Are you with me? You can spoil any sacrifice when you indulge in all those three things. They grab the sacrifice with a three-pronged flesh hook. Long time back I used to teach and say, watch out for the three G's if you're going to step into ministry. Gold, glory, and girl. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh yes. They were grabbing all these things, but Samuel was growing before the law. He said, I choose the Lord above all that. See, it is amazing. Sometimes people say, if I have a favorable situation around me, I can grow before the Lord. Not Samuel. The priests in the house were corrupt. Eli was a backslider who had lost the glory. He was no longer hearing from God. The entire nation were corrupt. Even in the temple of Jerusalem, there was no one righteous. But my Bible says Samuel grew up before the Lord. In other words, what I'm saying is don't point your finger at the circumstances. If those things change, maybe I can change. None of those things might ever change. But you can change right in the middle of it. You hear that? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What am I saying from the Samuel's life is this. Samuel, since he grew up before the Lord, 1 Samuel 3:21 says, one more time, please. The Lord appeared again to him in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Samuel could allow the word of God to come into his life and go through his life unhindered. Are you with me? Unhindered. The word of God could come in, the word of God could go through him. Unhindered. If you want to see the glory of God coming over your life, it's just not important that you start with the word, you need to end with the word. Hear that? Some people say, okay, I started, I obeyed the Lord in these areas, and I got baptized. That's fine, but why my Bible says, after they are baptized, continue to teach them. Continue to get into the word. That's why many of them who are baptized find it amazing when we come to the breaking of bread. They say, no, we just don't mind getting baptized, but not the breaking of bread. Why? Is it there in the word? It is there in the word. They allow the revelation of God to stop with the fact that they just got baptism themselves. Nothing more. If you come to the water of breaking your bread, then you need to go on. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought, let me weather the storm of the breaking of bread first before I teach you next. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you all here? People on top, are you still listening? Well, the third person that whom God used was the man called David to get the glory of God back. We learn something from him, don't we? 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Before we get to 1 Chronicles 11, let's get to 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. If somebody's sitting next to you sleeping, slap him on the back and say, arise from the dead. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And can somebody read it for me? Verses 1 onwards. 2 Samuel chapter 6, We're going to read through a lot. No, maybe I should keep it a little bit more easier for you. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines.
2 Samuel 6. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from the ark of the God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. Here David is wanting to bring the ark of God, where the presence and the glory is, back into Jerusalem. So what is he doing? The third verse, remember this. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Yes? Fifth verse. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, on harps of string instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachan's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David could not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And so when David heard that house of Obed-Edom was blessed, he went up again to take the ark. Hear me well. David tried to get the glory back in his life and in Jerusalem. And so what is he doing? He is crowding up a lot of people together, and he is taking a new car. Sometimes people say, okay, listen, if I hear something new or if I do something new, maybe the glory would come back upon my life. Didn't. Are you with me? Didn't. So what is David doing? He tried the new cart, and while the cart was going on, there was singing going on. There were people around with him. Everything looked kind of okay on the outside, but something was wrong, because he was doing it not the way that God had commanded him. He was doing it his own way. Some of you are trying to bring the presence of God back into your life by trying to get the presence of God into your life your own way. It's dangerous. You will not succeed. Are you with me? Uzzah, suddenly seeing that the oxen stumbled and the ark was being falling away, he held it and he kept it back and he died. Uzzah, that word means strength. In other words, David thought, this man who is strength can hold the ark for me till then. How many of you know that your own strength cannot bring the presence of God back into your life? You have tried it before and it's failed, hasn't it? You have tried in your flesh, in your strength, to get the glory of God back into your life. And you have said, okay, I won't do this, I won't do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You put up a lot of decisions in your life and you try to get back by your own effort, and it's failed you. And you were scared. But what I like about David is this, that's what I wanted to learn. Some of you have tried and that glory has not come over your life and you got discouraged. Are you with me? And that's why sometimes when you said, let's fast and pray, they say, oh, no, I tried before, it didn't happen, it didn't help. Sometimes people come to me and say, fasting and prayer, I've done that past, it does not help, I've not got the breakthrough. New anointing, oh, well, I've tried laughing in the spirit, it's not helped me. Hear that? David tried, but it did not help him. So he put the ark in the Obed-Edom, a Gentile's house, for 3 months. And in the 3 months, that house was blessed. All that this man, the Gentile, set his hand upon was blessed. And David said, I want that blessing. ഇന്നലെ വന്ന പ്രാർത്ഥനയ്ക്ക് വന്ന ആള് വരുന്ന ബ്ലസ്സിംഗ് നടക്കുക. ഇത്രയും കൊല്ലമായിട്ട് മിനിസ്ട്രി വന്നിട്ട് എനിക്കൊരു ബ്ലസ്സിംഗ് ഇല്ല. That's what happened to David. The person who came yesterday is being blessed. I have been coming to the Lord for such a long time. Nothing is happening in my life. Anybody felt ever that way? No, you are all good people. You wouldn't. Well, David felt that way. David felt that way. He said, I've tried before, but it's failed. But, hallelujah, what I like about David is he was willing to try again. Are you with me? Is there anybody this morning who is willing to do it one more time? Maybe you tried before to get the presence of God by fasting, by prayer, by your... Nothing has happened. But David was no quitter. Are you with me? He said, I won't rest till the presence and the glory comes back into Jerusalem upon my life. But this time there was a difference. You know what the difference was? 2 Samuel 6 says, this time he did it God's way. Before he did it his way, this time to see the glory of God back in his life, he did it God's way. Are you hearing that? How did he do it? 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Bible says, the first thing that he did was, he realized, God's word says in Numbers 4, the ark should never be carried anywhere except on the shoulders of the Levites, the priests. He had taken in a cart because it seemed good. Hear that? And he had forgotten the command of God. The ark can never be taken except on the shoulders of the Levites, the priest. Amen. That was God's prescribed way. What happens? Some people is that they want to be financially blessed, but they won't tithe. They'll fast and pray. What's the use? Come on. Fasting and prayer is good. But if you need to get a financial breakthrough, you need to do it God's way. You hear that? Sometimes people want to walk holy unto God. They'll fast and pray. But you need to do it God's way. There are things that you need to flee. There are things that you need to follow. And there are things that you need to fight. You hear that? You need to do it God's way to see the glory come back into your life. How many of you are still here today? David was willing to try it one more time, but this time he did it God's way. He said, Levites, carry it. Let's do it more reverentially this time. And 1 Chronicles chapter 15 says, before the Levites came, they sanctified themselves. Are you with me? They sanctified themselves. Some of you want the glory of God resting upon your life without repentance, without change. David made sure that the Levites sanctified themselves. You know how he made it? Made them sanctify themselves. He called the priest and said, who is interested in seeing the glory come back? Everybody said, Amen, praise the Lord. Who wants to see the Ark of Covenant coming upon your shoulder? Praise the Lord. I knew I was called. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You wonder? Yeah. Come. I'll show you. Here lies the grave of somebody who carried it before. He just tried to hold it and he died. Suddenly some of them said, no, I think I'll go back to Catholicism. It is easier. Here lies the man who tried to hold the glory with his hand. church. But these Levites, I admire them. They said, yeah. But this time we know what we should do, don't we? Yeah. We're going to fast and pray. No. That's not what you want. To sanctify yourself. As priest, we're going to carry the ark. Get your life in order. Sanctify means to be set apart. To be set apart for sacred use. Set apart. Are you with me? Set apart. See, why it took 3 months for David to go back and get the ark was this. He needed to prepare for 3 months. Get the priest sanctified, ready. Some of you are saying, easy way out. I'm fasting for 3 days. Get the glory back and go back home. That's not the way. That's it. It might take some time, brother. We might have to fast on for 10 more days in preparation. Sanctification, allow the Spirit of God to work within us, change us little by little, break up those hard places, make us repent, turn to Him, seek His face, hallelujah, commit ourselves, surrender more, unconditionally, forgive everyone, really make sure that we obey Him and let go even that we are holding on to. We might need some more time, it might not happen in 3 days, but we are willing to stick through till it happens because we want the glory back. Amen. Hallelujah. And David this time when he went is amazing. Look to this. The 6th chapter verse 13. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Oxen and? Hallelujah. It is amazing. All the way from Obed Edom's city to the temple of Jerusalem. One sacrifice I can understand. Every 6 steps they take, one sacrifice. Whew. Come on. David said this time we need to move it more reverentially. Amen. If my memory is right, it's about 15 miles. And for every 6 steps you take, one sacrifice. How many more to go? 14.5 miles. 14.75 miles and a lot more kilometers. Okay. 6 more steps. Boom. Some of you, you know what you need to do, don't you? You started on Friday. Said, Lord, I get back to you. You tried it. At least the mouth has started speaking those things. Now your heart needs to move into it. Sacrifice needs to get into it. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 step, 2 step, 3 step, 4 step, 5, 6 step. Stop! Sacrifice. Blood spring away. Hallelujah. 6 more steps. Stop! Blood spring away. Hallelujah. Some of you, the more you begin to seek the glory of God, God begins to show you your own weaknesses and little bit sins and areas of struggle. You thought you had God victory. And suddenly you say, oh my God, I need to get another blood again. 6 more steps. Again, boom. 6 more steps, again, boom. But hallelujah, it's worth it when you look at the glory getting back into Jerusalem. Are you willing to stick through with this? Are you with me? Do you want me to preach you something simple that will say, we're going to pray for a miracle. God, get us the glory. We want to go home, finish our fasting. I had to change my plans. Tomorrow I'm supposed to go to Bangalore. And I thought Tuesday I have a service there. Finish that service. Wednesday I'll watch the cricket match there. They even got me the tickets. The weather is good and pleasant in Bangalore. So I thought on Thursday I'll just enjoy there for some time. And Friday in time for the worship, get back. God said, son, you're playing with my glory. Are you willing to sacrifice your cricket match? And stick through 6 paces, 1 sacrifice. Hallelujah. Another 6 paces, 1 more sacrifice. Hallelujah. There might be things in your life that you need to sacrifice and bring to the Lord, but are you willing to do it? Are you willing to stick with the Lord and His word and His work all the way. Are you? Come on, church. Hallelujah. Or do you want just someone, man of God, to come and lay his hands upon you and say, breakthroughs, 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 three times and... Hallelujah. The first day somebody does that, you're all broken through. Every code of wickedness, everything goes. Second day, hallelujah. One more time. Another man of God comes and says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Anoint, 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 anoint. Go away. Hallelujah. Do you like that? And third day, open, 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 open. Poof. China opening up, Russia opening up. Ministry opportunities. Benin calling you for the This Is Your Day program. Woo. Hallelujah. Come on, church. What do you want? You want to go step by step? Lord's way? Anyone do it Lord's way? Come on, church. Amen? So when you look at this, it's amazing. See, it is amazing. Every six paces that you took, you sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Amen? It was amazing. You know what? See, if you ever thought about it, open with Psalm 69, please. Psalm 69 and verse 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hoofs. Hear that? I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord more than my fatted sheep and my calves and bulls. It is amazing. The other day I was looking at that word and I said, if I were to say tomorrow we're going to have a worship service, and we're going to do it the Old Testament way. Come with fattened sheep and oxen and bulls. And you go to the market and get one. One bull, I asked somebody the rate and they said it comes to about 3,400 rupees. One of them. One bull, 3,400 rupees. There's going to be a fattened one and a good one. It might cost a little bit more. And instead of the cars, the parking lot and this house and the lawn, everything is bulls and sheep. Can you imagine that? And you need to offer your offering before the Lord. And I say, I better offer it well. Somebody better see it. 3,400 bucks. And I ask him, how many of you want to stay for both the services? Each service, every 6 minutes, you're going to offer one bull. Suddenly the fire goes. Even one service is more than enough. Can you imagine that? Come on, church. Hallelujah. Do you know the worth and the value of one praise that you offer unto God, one thanksgiving that you offer unto God? Hallelujah. My Bible says in Psalm 69, I will magnify you with my songs and with my thanksgiving, for it is better than bulls and calves and goats. It is more valuable to the Lord than all the oxen and the bulls that you can give him. One shout of praise, the value that is there in heaven. value of that thanksgiving. Can you imagine that? Every 6 steps. Hallelujah. The New Testament church is going to go in circles dancing and rejoicing and say, I worship you, Lord. Thank you. Magnify your name. And those 6 more steps. You're going to say, Lord, I worship you. I give you glory. Here is my sacrifice. This is my sacrifice of thanksgiving unto you. And the 6 more steps. You're going to sacrifice unto the Lord. God alone knows how many sheep and how many bulls and calves David might have offered unto the Lord that day all the way through. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you, when you're fasting and prayer, remember, you need to worship. You need to thank him from your heart. Say, oh, I'm tired. I sit back. It's more work. Look at the bulls. Are you with me? 3,400 minimum. ഒരു താങ്ക് യു പറയുമ്പോ ആ വില ഉണ്ടെന്ന് ഓർത്താ സൂക്ഷിച്ചല്ലേ പറയുള്ളൂ. That precious. Are you with me? That is why when you come to verse, thank you, Lord. God says, wow. I like the smell of it. Thank you, Lord. Ah, you know the value also when you say that. I'm willing to sing another song to you, Lord. Sometimes when another song is saying, they say, when is the pastor coming to preach? One more song. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. The value of that song. Are you with me? Whoa, what a privilege. What a privilege, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, can I go a little bit there, a little bit more deeper on that one word? Now, look to this man called Paul in the New Testament. See, when you look to this man called Paul, open with me to the first letter of Thessalonians. Let's go through a lot of scriptures. Okay, I'm just going to go through it fast. So you go through it fast, pretty fast. Philippians chapter 4. Some of it you might know, but we're going to go through it again. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, underline that word thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Is that? Amen. Many people, their prayer is all with the, they're anxious about everything and they pray and they supplicate with not thanksgiving, with groanings and saying, Lord, bring, Lord, with thanksgiving. Are you with me? Amen. 1 Thessalonians, Philippians chapter, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? I thank God for the grace of God. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. The word grace means unmerited favor. When he was looking at the unmerited favor in his life, he said, I thank you, O God. Many a time you're just scribbling and crying and saying, Lord, give me more grace. What you should be doing is be thankful for all of the graces that he has given you. That's why you are here alive today. Amen. Look to again. Next word. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. People on top, are you listening? 16th verse. Do not cease to give thanks for you, Paul is saying, making mention of you in my prayers. Can you imagine that? Paul, every time he was thinking of the church in Ephesus and praying for them, he was doing it with thanksgiving. That was a big lesson for me. Hallelujah. Amen. He was doing a thing. He said, Lord, I thank you with prayers. Lord, I pray for Georgie, Lord. Oh, Lord. Revive him again. Ah, thank you. It changed. Are you with me? Suddenly I understood, you know, I was looking at the people's problems and trying to pray for them, and everything was getting drained out. As the years go by, I'm getting more discouraged. You bring them out of one trouble, they get in another seven. Get them out of there again, they go, boom. I said, Lord, how do I do this? God said, thanksgiving. Mention them in prayer and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of thank you, O God. Magnify with thanksgiving. It's better than the boots. Amen. Look to it again, please. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Can you imagine that? Suddenly when you remember people that you're supposed to pray for and all that, what should you do? Thank God. 90% of my life in the last 11 years has been spent in my bedroom behind locked doors with my Bible in front. And I said, Lord, 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 Lord. The rest of my life I'm going to do this? God said, unless you enjoy it, until you enjoy it, you're going to do this. Okay, Lord. I better start enjoying it fast. Thank you, Lord. Are you with me? Are we going to understand what I'm saying, please? Look again. 1 and verse 6, listen, 1 verse 3 we read, the 6th verse. He was giving in thanksgiving. Why? Being confident. There's a way that when you begin to thank God, confidence begins to rise inside of you. Being confident of this very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Some of you are lacking in confidence concerning the outcome or the end of your walk with God is because you are not you're not offering him a thanksgiving. When you begin to offer thanksgiving unto the Lord, your confidence rises. Are you with me? You get the bigger picture. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to one more word, please. We got plenty of it. Do you want it? Do you want it? Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Can you imagine that? Amen. Hallelujah. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for your faith. Have you thanked him for your faith? Forget somebody else's faith, you might not be able to thank. You might say, oh my God, that person's got more faith than me. She only came yesterday and I've been here for 10 years. No. You there? If you can't thank God for others' faith, at least thank him for the faith that he's given you that you're here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I thank God for your faith. When you thank him, you will find the faith becoming alive. I stir up faith by thanksgiving. Are you with me? People who have traveled with me for crusades and ministries and people who see me prepare and they know how I prepare. I groan in the Spirit of the Lord and then I praise him for a long time. Having to confess for the scripture. Thanksgiving is the rise. And then my faith is charged up. Why is my faith to be charged up? Because there's an enemy that's trying to get me discouraged and move into unbelief. So I have to get my faith charged up. I do it with thanksgiving. Receive the word. Boom. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No. Listen to this, please. See, you might say, listen, it is good, all that, but you don't understand me, brother. I'm going through too much a struggle. I would like to thank him, but you see, I have a lot of problem. My problem is not outside. I don't have a problem. It's not lack of finances that is my concern. It is not even family problems. What I'm struggling with is sin. And I just want a deliverance from it. How do I handle that? Well, look to Romans chapter 7. What Paul had to say about it. The 24th verse. Seventh chapter. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Yes? But look at the answer, the 25th verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He was not saying that about through Jesus got victory. He's saying, with my mind, I know the law of God. With my body, I know the law of sin. But thank God. Thank God. Come on, church. You don't get it, do you? Nowhere does it say that he got the victory through Jesus there. Well, Romans 8 says that. Through the law of the Spirit. But in the 7th chapter, while he's ending that chapter, he's saying, thank God for this struggle. In my mind is the law of God. I know every word, everything to do. My body is going in different directions. But thank God. Come on. Hallelujah. Every 6 steps, bulls and calves might not be there, but thanksgiving unto the Lord. Sacrifices. Every 6 steps, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Ha ha. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the. There are plenty more scriptures, but I won't go through it now. But this is it. Hannah, when she realized that glory had come back, she said, it's not my selfishness. It's the Lord's reproach that I should be concerned about. Two, that made her look to the Lord. Are you with me? Two, Samuel, the word of God could go through him. Unrestricted. Amen. Because he grew up in the presence of the Lord. Amen. David, he brought the glory of God back. Amen. The first time he failed, you might have failed 100 million times, but let me tell you, do it again. David tells you, don't quit. Again, go through that 6 steps. Do it the biblical way. Get it done. There's a way out for you when you do it God's way. Amen. David and the fourth person that is mentioned who was responsible for the glory coming back was the man called Solomon. Solomon. Hallelujah. And I just take one scripture. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. Solomon built the temple. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone, finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. That one word. We won't elaborate or go into the depths of it. Solomon made sure the temple of God was built, and there was no sound heard in the temple of tools and cutting. And irons being put in place and all. No sounds. Are you with me? He was silent. In other words, there was no strife. Are you with me? There was no fights. That's the principle. You want to see the glory come back into your life? You need to forgive, my brother. Amen. You need to forgive. Are you with me? You don't see no glory coming into your life until you forgive people. Amen. Are you in the habit of getting into fights? Do you not want to keep silent? You want to see the glory of God? Learn to keep silent. Are you with me? There was no envy, no friction in the body, in the temple. Are you kind of envious when somebody else seems to be getting a better touch of God? Well, what is happening to you is the devil is deceiving you because that is keeping you from the glory. Anybody get a blessing? That doesn't matter. Amen? You love them. Pray for them. There's no friction. Are you with me? Are you going to see the glory of God come over this church and into our lives and into our midst? And through us, No friction. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One body in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Rich and poor, black and white, blue and green, tall and short. Hallelujah. Thin and wide. No friction. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Seniors and juniors. Malayalis and English wallahs. Hallelujah. No friction. Amen. Hallelujah. Rich people and poor people. Are you with me? Inequated and unequated. You accept everyone. New believer and old believer. Well, I've been old. You've been getting old. They find it hard to accept new people who come in. As a pastor, I need to accept everyone who comes into the fold that God has kept. I cannot make a difference between the old and the new. Are you with me? Then we'll have the same groups, everything. No, no, no. I want to see the glory of God here. Amen. You might have been coming here for a long time, and you might have just come in today. You're most welcome. I love you the same. Accept you. Amen. In other words, there was no friction in the temple when Solomon was building it. No strife, no anger. Boom, there was calmness, a quietness, a gentleness, and the glory of God just took over. 2 Chronicles 7:1 says, while they were praying in the temple, the glory just fell. I like that word. Just that word, and we close with it. And this morning, I pray, Father, that your glory will fall upon each and every one of us. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven, amen, and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It is amazing. Woo! 2 Chronicles 5 says, when they started the work in the temple, glory filled them. When they ended the work, glory filled them. In the beginning and the end, there was glory. My brother, my sister, if you do what I said from the word, you need to do in the beginning and in the end, there will be glory for your life. Amen. The Bible says the fire fell. The fire fell to consume the sacrifice, to purify. If your life is a sacrifice at the foot of a cross, the fire falls to take the sacrifice. And then the glory fills the temple. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready today? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Are you enjoying the word today? Do you want to see the glory come back into your life? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, even today we have the breaking of bread today. Even we're going to partake of it. We're going to allow the Lord to minister unto us and move among us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anybody who is wanting to partake of the Lord's table today, would you lift your hand? Amen.
Yes. Praise God. I thought the glory had shut up. Hallelujah. Remember, the Lord's table is for people who are baptized, who have prepared your hearts. And if you want to get baptized and you are not, and your heart is ready for that, you can still partake if your right heart is right with the Lord. But if you say, no, I'm not going to get baptized, but I want to partake. No, you can't. Are you with me? Amen. Get the conviction of the word into your spirit. Amen. So we're going to partake of the Lord's table together as believers, as one church. Amen. And we worship the Lord before we come to the time where we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up in the presence of the Lord today. unto the Lord today.